This is John's gem number 81, based on chapter 19 and verse 16, and the question, who is involved? Before we leave John's account of the trials of Jesus, we need to note two further things. Both of them arise from the careful way in which John structured his narrative. The discussions, bordering on arguments, between Jesus and Pilate come in two sets of three each. In both of them, Pilate moves in and out of his palace in a quite extraordinary way. One would expect a Roman governor, lord of all in that area, to require people to come to him rather than him going to them. But it is not so in this case. Such was the power and authority that Jesus wielded. So in 18:28-40, Pilate came out, in verse 29, went back inside, verse 33, went out again, verse 38. In 19, verses 4-13, he came out, in verse 4, went back inside, verse 8, and finally he brought Jesus out for judgment, in verse 13. All that is very clearly laid out to get our attention. Two things in particular. The first is that we should see that neither the Jews, that is, the leaders of the Jews in Jerusalem at that particular time, nor Pilate, as the representative Gentile non-Jew, was exclusively responsible for the condemnation and death of Jesus. John has sometimes been accused of laying the blame for what happened on the Jews, and that has contributed to the persecution of Jewish people at certain times throughout history, some of which still goes on. This is clearly very unjust. John could not have laid out the sequence of what happened more clearly to show that although Pilate was acting as a tool of the Jews, he did not need to do so and would not have done so if he could have avoided the serious political blackmail he was subjected to. The second thing John would have us see is what he emphasizes at the center, the focal point of his account. In chapter 19, in the first three verses, we read, "Then Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged. The soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head. They clothed him in a purple robe and went up to him again and again, saying, 'Hail, King of the Jews!'" Jesus is king, but not the sort of king we and they expected him to be. It is all very conscious imitation of Isaiah chapter 53, where we read, "He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised, and we held him in low esteem. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth." All of which John must have had in mind as he wrote his description of the suffering servant king. It is strange but clear, deliberate, that up to this point John has said very little about the kingdom of Jesus and about the kingdom in general, so very unlike the other three gospel writers. He makes up for it at this point. This is who we follow and serve, this totally unique figure, the great king of all creation, the servant of all mankind, the bruised and bleeding one. Stop. Think. Wonder.